Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at the first 7 verses. It says this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that it is still true today, so many years later. Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach today. Lord, open our ears and our hearts to listen to what you have for us today. And Lord, I pray we can learn something and draw strength from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. It's a very familiar story. I want to look at the devil's tactics a little bit, and we're going to look. We've looked a little bit at that before, but we're going to take it all the way up to today's day. And we see that in verse 1, he starts out. The devil starts by attacking God's word. He asked her if God had said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden," so that he is testing her knowledge. Do you notice that he is trying to see what she knows about what God had said, if she knows what God's word is or what it was. And Genesis chapter 2:17 is where in the chapter before, God did say, "But of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So remember, Jesus was tempted by that same devil, the same subtle devil. He wasn't looking like a serpent that time, but he was just as sly. And remember, Jesus responded to every one of the devil's lies and temptations the same way. He responded through God's word. And see, I believe that the devil wants to know our knowledge of God's word, because if we have a strong knowledge of God's word, then we are better able to repel his deception and his falsehoods. But if he asks us a question, if he digs deep like he did with the woman and is asking about our knowledge, if he knows that we don't know God's word, he knows we have less power, because in and of ourselves, we are no match for the devil. It is only through the word of God that we can resist temptation, that we can resist deception and falsehood. We know this. This shouldn't be something new. But Eve answers him and says, "God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, God never said anything about touching the fruit. He just told them not to eat it. So here's the problem. She looks at it, and she has changed God's word. She's changed what God commanded, and she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the verse says she took the fruit thereof and did eat. And I've thought about this at different times, but one of the things that I realized, I always thought, well, maybe the devil tossed it to her and she touched it, but no, it says she grabbed the fruit. Now remember, she just told the devil, "If I touch it, I'm going to die." And guess what she did? She grabbed it off and nothing happened. You see that? The devil was excited when she had changed God's word, because he knew if she touched it and God didn't say that it was a problem to touch it, that nothing would happen. And then it would start to put more doubt in her mind, right? If she thinks that God said, "If you touch it, you'll die," and she touches it and nothing happens, then what's the rest of the warning? The real warning was, "Don't eat of it," right? Because you'll die. Well, she's thinking, if I touched it and I was supposed to die, well, then what's the problem of eating it? You see what happens? Just a little tweak of God's word and she's all messed up right now. You know what? Just a little tweak of God's word and we'd all be messed up. And that's the problem. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to add. He wants us to take away. He wants us to change something from God's word. Because once we do that and then it doesn't fit reality, then he knows he can pounce on that and say there's a problem with God. Well, years ago, there was a TV ad back before we watch TV with no ads, at least at our house when we do get a chance to watch TV. But they had an advertisement and they said, if you call this number, you can get yourself a free Book of Mormon. And years and years and years ago, I did that. I don't know why I did that, but I was a kid when I did it and ordered it, and I've got it. I've still got it. And I pulled it out for some reason. And I'll tell you what it says in the very beginning in the introduction. It says this, that it is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. Right? Comparable. Okay, did you get that? Further on down in the introduction, this is the first page, just the introduction. It says, Joseph Smith said that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth and is the keystone of our religion, and a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. You notice that? See, on the side of it, it says another testament of Jesus Christ. That's what it says right here. The Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. It would make you to believe just by reading that, oh, it's just extra, right? It's fine. They go together. But just halfway through the first page, there's Joseph Smith saying, this is better than any other book in the world. And it'll get you closer to God. Yee. You know what? I believe the devil is never satisfied with us questioning what God said. He wants us to do that over and over and over again. And you know what he will do to get you to question God? He'll produce another testament, won't he? He'll produce other writings. He'll produce other books. He'll produce all these different things. And he, on this surface, he will make it look like this is not a problem. Why? What do they call themselves? They come to your door. They'll call themselves Christians. They won't tell you what they really are. It takes a little while to figure it out. And so do the other groups. They do the same thing. Oh, we use your Bible. We do the same things. But underneath the surface, there is a large difference there. One of the things that you know, because it claims that there are more prophets than the ones that are in the Bible. And we talked about some of that this morning. But Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3 gives us the Old Testament of truth. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, or and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Old Testament, what was the test? If whether what a man was saying, because remember, we looked in Hebrews 1:1, God hath in sundry times and in diverse manners spoken. He used men to speak. He spoke to different men throughout the times. He used prophets. He used kings. He used judges. And the question was in the Old Testament, how would I know if this king or prophet or judge was really saying what God said? Well, the test is right there. Number one, it needs to come to pass if it's a prophecy. But the other thing he said, if he starts pulling you away to other gods, it's false. He said, you could stop it right there. It's false. There's other gods in here. I'll just tell you, I haven't read the whole thing. I don't need to read it. They admit there's other gods in here. And in fact, they call Jesus a different god. A god. It's sad. That's what the Old Testament teaches. What about the New Testament? Galatians 1, 8, and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, that's asking, the question's simple. Are they preaching another gospel than that of Jesus Christ? What's the gospel? Really simply, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how that Christ died for our sins, yes, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the simple gospel right there in two sentences. The gospel is not some ordinances of some church. It is not some set of rule books. It is not a book that a prophet wrote, whether it's Joseph Smith or somebody else of the day. It is, the gospel is about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Like we said this morning, I like that verse again so much, I'll say it again. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus had by himself purged our sins. He did it himself. He didn't need some other prophet. He doesn't need some other ritual. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He just needs someone that realizes that they're in sin, that believes the gospel, and that calls on Jesus' name. That's all that's necessary. And I thank God for that. But that test in Galatians, are they preaching another gospel? We see that a lot, don't we? Because here's the one that gets a lot of them. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what one of the devil's favorite lies about salvation is? He doesn't care if we talk about Jesus. He doesn't care if we use a Bible. He doesn't care if we have a church. He doesn't care if we have crosses on the back. If we preach that you can get to heaven by your good works, you can have all the other trappings, and he doesn't care. Yeah. Why? Because he knows that's another gospel, and he knows it'll never get you there. Right. He's fine with it. So many false religions, even that name the name of Christ, that call themselves Christians, say that you can get to heaven by your deeds, and that is the biggest falsehood in the Bible. It is crystal clear through the Bible. You can't do enough good deeds to outweigh your bad, as if there was some kind of scale there. That is not how it works. And I don't know if they think they're going to do enough good deeds that suddenly it gets God's attention and that God is now impressed with a man. I'm telling you who he's impressed with: his son. That's who he was impressed with, that did his father's will, that lived a perfect life, that fulfilled the scriptures. That's what impresses him, and that's who's sitting down at the right hand of glory. That's the one that receives all praise in heaven. I don't know about you. I don't expect to go to heaven and then see them all worshiping Jesus, and then be set right next to Jesus, and everyone start worshiping me, because it's nothing that I did. It's everything that he did. In fact, I need to bow down. I need to cast my crown at his feet, because it's because of his salvation, his faithfulness, that I am here today and that I'll even make it to heaven. There's so many problems when you have salvation by works. Number one, it's false. It's completely false. It won't get you to heaven. But if you've ever seen it actually in working, and actually seeing someone that believes in it, there is no assurance of salvation. And that is sad. We'll see what happens when we get to judgment. How sad is that? There's no hope there. I don't know about you. I need a real hope today. Not a maybe hope. Not a we'll see hope. Not a gambling hope. Or like the stock market hope. I need a real hope. And that hope is based on Jesus Christ. Not whether I've done enough.
That's right.
It's whether he's done enough.
That's right.
And this morning, the Bible made it clear, it's finished. He did enough, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father because he's done. See, there's no assurance of salvation, and it causes us to focus on our own actions rather than God. And it's so sad, because they love to use it, not only because it's false, but it gets people to work, right? That's how they get them to do all kinds of work for them. Well, you got to work harder, right? You get a better spot. You get a better this or better that. But the saddest thing is, I realized this a couple years ago, when we go to Bennington Glen, you don't see them there. You don't see them there. Why? Because their good deeds can't possibly outweigh their bad if they only have a few years left and they can't go door to door.
That's right.
It's sad. And then I've read stories of people that have been in these religions that have works based, and they serve for years and years and years. They just put their whole life into it, and then they get older, and then they aren't able to do certain things, and all they feel is guilt and shame because they can't do the things that their religion says needs to be done. Isn't that sad? It's false. But let's go back to the fall. I want to read you something. I want to read you something from here that talks, this just blows my mind. This, another testament of Jesus Christ, I didn't realize this, but it talks about Genesis chapter 3 in here. And I want you to hear what it says, because it's ridiculous. But I want you to see the devil's tactic right here. So I'm reading, this is just 59 pages in. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, so this is saying if they wouldn't have sinned against God, he would not have fallen, okay, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. Sounds good to me. And all things which are created must have remained in the same state that they were after they were created, and that they must have remained forever and had no end. Well, that sounds good, right? Sounds pretty good. Basically, it's stating an obvious. If he hadn't sinned, they'd still be in the Garden of Eden today, right? Listen to this. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in the state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. Now listen to this. Here's another passage talking about the same thing with Adam. Another passage. Blessed be the name of God because... Oh, this is Adam talking to God. I forgot. Here's Adam talking to God, like basically praying to God. Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgressions, my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God. You hear how ridiculous that is? You know what that is saying in these two passages? That what Adam and Eve did that day was a good thing. It was a selfless thing, right? They did that so that they could have children and know joy in their lives. That's what it's saying. Two different times, two different ways, clearly saying the same thing. That there was no joy before because of some logic they made up, right? Well, if you don't know good and evil, there's no way you could have joy. I don't know where they get that. Right? And even that they wouldn't be able to have children. The Bible never says that. Right? It says they would have, she would have children in sorrow. Yes. But you know what? I realized that, you know what the devil was trying to convince Eve of back in Genesis 3, and we're back to the truth now, is that her life would be better if they went against God's word. Right? That was his thing. Let's go back. Let's see what he says. He said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God's lying. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he was telling her that your life will be better, you will know more, and you'll be as God. And basically he's saying this, and at the beginning he said, for God doth know. What he is telling Eve is that God doesn't want you to have this because he knows you will start to know all this stuff, and it was as if it's a threat to him, right?
Right.
God doesn't want this for you, but it's better for you. That's what the devil was trying to convince her that day. And through mixing up what God said and through the deception, she decided that she was going to go for it. Now, the Book of Mormon takes it a step further, right? And adds other things. You know what all it is the devil has refined and added to and gotten some more ideas and says, you know what? There was no joy in the Garden of Eden. You know what the sad thing about that is? I believe that what was the Garden of Eden? It was pre the curse. It was pre death. It was pre sweat of the brow. It was pre all of those things, yeah. Right? It sounds like a good life to me. Yeah. Now, if you say there's no joy there, then my question is, well, when the Bible says, the real Bible says, when we get to heaven, there's going to be no death, no sin, no more flesh, no more curse, none of those things. So are you also telling me there's not going to be any joy in heaven?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't believe it. And then children just made it up. Convincing them that it would be better if they went against God. Do you realize the devil is trying to do that same thing today over and over and over again? Whether it's with this method or any other method, the root is the same. Your life is worse if you follow God's word. Your life is worse if you follow God's will. Your life is worse if you follow God's plan. Your life is worse if you dwell where God is. Right? Your life is better if you sin. That's what he's saying. That's what they're saying. Your life is better. You'll gain more out of it. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Deceitful. Lies. But you know what? What did Adam and Eve really gain? Sorrow and childbearing, a cursed earth, thorns and thistles, sweat of the face of the brow in order to get food and to farm, and death. And that curse has just multiplied over the generations to where we are today. And we see the same sin, the same death, the same consequences just multiplied because evil is multiplied. And I'm here to tell you, where the devil said you would get joy, where the devil said you would be as gods, where the devil said all these things, you look today and he clearly, clearly lied. They didn't get any of it. We're not getting any of it today. Yet he still uses the same formula today to try to convince people that God is wrong when he says things. Whether it's when God says, we've got people that try to prove God wrong with their lives and it can't be done. God said that marriage was for a man and a woman, right? And then that is the only relationship where sex is acceptable. Yet we have a culture today that thinks it's okay for anything, right? And they see it as a liability if you go into a relationship and you haven't had sex before, right? It's on TV. Watch TV. I hate to say it. It's all over, right? It's a liability. That's what they'll say. You can't possibly marry somebody without moving in and living with them. God said, don't do it.
That's right.
The devil says, it's better if you do it. You'll figure them out. You'll get to know the person. Right? That's what the devil said. Same thing. And this world is eating it up. The sad part is, there are Christian people that are eating it up. They're saying, you know what? I won't do this. I won't do this. I won't do this. Yeah, but we'll shack up. We'll figure it out. Right? As if God's law and God's rule and God's word has exceptions. It doesn't. It doesn't. Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. You realize God's laws are good.
Amen.
They bring a good life. They bring better outcomes. The devil is constantly fighting us on that. And the world is reeling it in, and we see what's going on. I hate to even look at the news because what I see just breaks my heart, and just the wickedness and the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And one of the newest things is over there in Seattle, they have several blocks where they've decided that they're going to rule themselves over there. They don't want any police. They don't want anything else. And it's ridiculous. As if you can take out rule and order and law and a spot and everything will get better. Yeah. Who's that? That's the devil.
That's right?
It'll get better.
Yeah.
Take away morals, it'll get better. Take away the Bible, it'll get better. Take away Jesus Christ, it'll get better. And let me tell you something, it hasn't gotten better. Yet this world, you know what they say? Well, we just haven't done enough, right? We've tried to get rid of the Bible and here and here and here, but it's still over here, so we got to get rid of it over there. In fact, there are countries over there in China, I saw the other day, they were pulling down crosses off of buildings. Right? You know what makes me chuckle? You can pull the cross off the building all you want. You think that's where the power comes from. It's not on the statue. It's not on the cross, on the wall. That's not where our power comes from. It comes from right here. Right? This is what the devil wants. I'm longing for heaven. I can't wait. I can't wait till there's no more separation between us and God physically, where we can be in the same place, where we can worship. We can worship Him, not just in spirit and in truth, but we can worship Him right there in presence. I can't wait to enjoy the joys of the Lord, right? That's what He said. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Well, that the devil's telling you where there can't possibly be any joy unless you've got evil there as well, because he's ridiculous. He's a liar. There'll be no more curse, no more sorrow, no more pain. And the devil wants us to focus on this life. God is trying to get our focus on the life to come, and not what seems good with our eyes, good with our hands, good with our minds, but what seems good from God. And He said, my law is good, my commandments are good, my will is good, my church is good. In fact, when He created Adam and Eve, He said it was very good, but then they decided they wanted something better. And I'm here to tell you, the devil's still attacking the same ways.
Right.
You know what he'd love to do? He'd love to get an entire denomination to turn in some falsehood. He would love that. If he can't do an entire denomination, he'd love for just one church to turn.
Yeah.
If he can't get one church, maybe one family to turn. If he can't get a family, even one person is enough for him to turn. It's sad, isn't it? But do you realize, it would seem that it's harder to go against the devil today. But I'm here to tell you, it's not. It's not. You know what we need? We need to take this right here.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? As it is written.
Amen.
As it is written, started to melt away the deception. As it is written. In fact, if Eve would have said right back to him what God had said, then touching it wouldn't have been a problem.
That's right.
But you know what? I don't think she would have touched it anyway.
Right.
Devil, we can have everything except for that one thing. And if God says not to touch it, I don't want it. That's what we have to get and decide in our heart. He will test us. He'll test us in different ways at different times. But I'm here to tell you, God's way is better.
Amen.
But isn't it crazy that all he did was he took that deception and lie from Genesis chapter 3, from the beginning, and he built an entire institution around it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He's done that over and over again. Right? He has. You know what they will try to do? They'll try to convince us, oh, we're the same. Mm-hmm. Have they come to your door? We're the same. Jehovah's Witness, we're the same. Use the same Bible, right?
Yeah.
Try to get you in their direction. It's not the same. Brian Baer said it best. If it's not the same, it's different.
That's right.
And it's way different.
Yeah.
And it's way wrong. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad that we've got the truth. We just need to get into it, hide it in our heart, study it, meditate on it, and be ready. Because the devil is trying over and over again. He is the master of excuses. He's the master of shortcuts. He's the master of feel goods. But I'd rather have the truth.
Amen.
You know what'll feel the best? Is where I'm right where God wants me. And I can stand before Him and not brag on what I've done, but say, Lord, it's because of you.
Amen.
Isn't he a good God?
Yes.
I'm glad the devil doesn't want what's best for me, but my God wants what's best for me. Isn't that good? Let's stand.
Let's get a song tonight.